The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Pablo Torre. Wilbon is off, but I am happy, Tony, to fill in whenever you ask.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Tracy, did I ask? Did I ask?
Oh, come on. Tracy, asked. Vouch for me, Tracy. I got like
come
a letter.
On.
There was a letter in the mail. It was typewritten. It seemed like
really?
It was written by an older person. I figured that is Tony Kornheiser.
That's
all
me.
Of this
That's me.
Points to
I
you.
I love having you. I personally love, I can't speak for the others. I love having you. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. Wilbon needed a breather after working two full days this week.
Wow.
So I am joined by our great friend from the ESPN Daily Podcast, Mr. Pablo Torre. Ooh, big cheer. That's great. And we begin today with Aaron Rodgers finally speaking his mind and unburdening himself about the dissolving relationship between him and the Green Bay Packers management. Rodgers said he wanted more say in decisions about the offense. He said he didn't want to be a lame duck quarterback. He said, quote, if you can't commit to me past 2021, go ahead and make a change, unquote. He said he wanted to recruit free agents. He listed about 10 former teammates who he said the Packers got rid of that bothered him. He said they were high character locker room guys. He said the Packers ultimately threw money at him, but that wasn't the point. And finally, Rodgers said, quote, I know I can still play. I want to play. I'm not a victim here at all, unquote. Pablo, do you think Rodgers can flourish in Green Bay being this angry?
Tony, I love that you are asking me this question because you have been motivated by spite and have flourished for decades now. So
yes,
we know that
absolutely.
This can work. In your case, in Aaron Rodgers' case, he won an MVP feeling all of these ways, right? Like, this is something that I think is going to be increasingly angry to Aaron Rodgers. It's going to be infuriating to him because, look, he's going to flourish, and what does that mean? It means that the Packers are going to get a ransom. They're going to get a haul in exchange for him when they try and trade him after this season. And in the meantime, Aaron Rodgers knows that because he showed up and because he's going to play this season, he doesn't have many moves to make here. He's going to be a really good quarterback, and they're going to do exactly what they wanted to do the entire time, his employers, that is, this entire time.
I love the fact that you're looking down the road on this season. I'm going to concentrate right now on what a wow it was to see Aaron
yes.
Rodgers and hear Aaron Rodgers say these things. I did not expect this at all. I thought he would be typically coy and mysterious and hazy and sort of superior, and he was not. And I took notes on this, okay? He was specific, he was angry, he was methodical. And Pablo, this was the pain of years. This wasn't just, as he said, a draft day decision a couple of years ago. I mean, he sat there and he said, I'm quoting now, Green Bay is not a vacation spot. People are coming here to play with me. And he said, I offered to help recruit them, and the Packers didn't want any part of this. He listed these guys name by name by name that he mm-hmm. thought the Packers dealt with in a shabby manner. And he knew as he was doing this that he was speaking directly to the coach and the general manager and the president of that team. And he made it very clear he hated them. And I have to tell you, Pablo, and thank you for saying this, as someone myself driven by spite and anger my whole life, I thought he was a working class hero and I wanted to sit there and applaud. I did.
Well, here's where I began to boo a little bit because I loved everything that he gave us in terms of the honesty and the bluntness. The thing I didn't love, and this sort of feels like a window to look into the future again, into how he's going to pivot here, he blamed the media for making up all of these stories that he thought were unfair because we didn't have anything to talk about. He basically called us Geraldo, Tony. Here we are in front of the vault. But inside the vault, it turned out, was this press conference. And everything, all of the animosity, the animus, the spite, it's in there. And it's real, and that's why this season is going to be so fun for
yeah.
me.
So a Geraldo Rivera reference, very good for me. Very good, because I'm old and remember Geraldo well on Channel 7 in New York. Let me get to what I think he really did.
Yeah.
I think he directed his comments at his teammates. His teammates have to love him. That is his constituency. Mm. He said, I'm labor. I'm not management. I don't care about their money. I thought he was playing to teammates gone and teammates present. I thought he won the locker room. And I think for a player in any sport, that's the most important thing. I don't think a player can say of Aaron Rodgers, oh, he thinks because he makes all this money, he's better than us. I didn't get that sense at all. I mean, I think honestly that players, particularly in football, they want to say these things. They want to say management thinks they can pay us and then treat us shabbily, and they're afraid. Aaron Rodgers, not afraid. Not afraid.
No, he won the locker room, I think, as well. He won the right to Randall Cobb again, because that trade just went through for a sixth rounder. The question I have, Tony, is whether the stuff I just listed, is that enough to make him realistically do anything other than fuel another news cycle as this season progresses? I feel like we're going to do all of this, Tony, the same exact conversation. We're going to have it, like, next spring once again. But now for today's drama in college football, because just 1 month ago, Tony, SEC boss Greg Sankey was hailed by other conferences for what appeared to be his inclusive effort to expand the college football playoff to 12 teams. But now that the SEC is on the verge of adding Texas and Oklahoma, some think Sankey was just trying to create playoff space for more SEC teams. The Athletic reports that other conferences are reconsidering the expansion as a result. Do you think they'll punish Sankey and the SEC by not going through with it, Tony?
So I want to try to understand this question. Are you asking me that because they're mad at the ACC, other conferences
SEC,
are going
yep.
to limit SEC? They're mad at the SEC. Other conferences are going to limit how much money is going to be out there for all of them on the table.
That's right.
Because
That's right.
they don't like the SEC, because the SEC is smarter and better than they are, because they feel the Big 12's feelings were hurt. Well, without Texas and Oklahoma, there is no Big 12. They don't matter at all. What do they bring to the table? Do they bring West Virginia? The SEC is by far the best football conference and has been for years, and now it is even better. Most of these conference commissioners, who are very highly paid and overpaid, I would say, if they are mm-hmm. actually going to limit the amount of teams in the playoff, which will necessarily limit the amount of money they're going to get, if they do that, they should be fired immediately. Immediately.
Yeah, Bob Bowlsby, who is the commissioner of the Big 12, one of the great names in human history given his profession, that guy, Tony, had no idea Greg Sankey was plotting this while they were in discussions as recently as weeks ago. So I understand why Bob Bowlsby feels like he needs to stomp his feet and threaten to derail the money train for everybody, because that guy had his lunch taken from him. No way around that. But you are absolutely right insofar as everybody, I think, also realizes the status quo financially is not going to work for everybody else that is not the SEC. The SEC, weirdly, is the best position, big picture, of anybody. Everyone else needs to eat off of their plate, and the way you do that necessarily involves a 12-team playoff.
So again and again and again, conferences are done. The NCAA is done. There's going to be one giant conference with between 40 and 60 schools. It's going to be subdivided geographically. It's going to be a cash cow. Can I make myself any clearer? I mourn the end of conferences. You know, I loved conferences, but you know what? I mourn the end of the times when I used to have to get up to change the channel, but I've adjusted. I've adjusted. The Seattle Same. Mariners traded their top reliever, Kendall Graveman, to the Houston Astros. These teams are division rivals. Seattle is chasing Houston and a wild card spot for the first time in 20 years. Seattle's players are crazy mad at this trade. Some had tears in their eyes. They're focusing their anger on GM Jerry DePoto. They feel betrayed. Pablo, are they correct to feel betrayed?
They are correct to feel betrayed, because on Monday, Tony, they had their best win of the season against the Astros, scored 7 runs to come back in a single inning. And who had the win in that game in the 8th inning but Kendall Graveman, their excellent closer? And who did they trade? Kendall Graveman, that excellent closer, for who? Two guys, a hitter and a pitcher, who are like rank, not good, like not good baseball players. There's no spinning that into a good deal. And they trade them. They trade Kendall Graveman in exchange for them to the Houston Astros, a division rival. So if you don't want your players to feel this way, you are a terrible GM. Even if you know that this team is not nearly as good as your record, you need the players to respond in this way because they're competitors.
Kendall Graveman's numbers, I think we should have these. He's 4-0. His ERA is 0.82. Trading him at all makes no sense. Trading him to the team that you continue to play in the same series that you're trying to catch.
So many more. It's like 11 more games on Sony every level. The Astros. Yes.
So DePoto said, look, this is part of something larger, and you have to wait for all the pieces to be put together and then make a judgment, which sounds suspiciously to me like trust the process. We're not going to play that game.
I feared you would say that. And I resent
because you're the author of the phrase.
Because I am the prophet of the process, and things have been a little hard for me in the process department. But I don't trust Jerry DePoto. Can I say that? I trusted Sam Hinkie. We can have that debate another time. But Jerry DePoto, I don't. If this was a fantasy baseball trade, Tony, the other owners veto it on its face. I don't know how you make this trade sensible with other deals.
The last time Seattle made the playoffs was 2001. This is the longest drought in any team in a major sport in the United States. You're trading away to a team in the division, a team you have to play 10 more times. You're basically saying, here, take it, win the whole thing. It's awful. It's just heartless. Let's take a break. Coming up, Katie Ledecky finally strikes gold. What's the word for what she pulled off in the 1500?
And did the men's Olympic basketball team figure out its issues against Iran?
Seattle is this forgotten place. They got no basketball team. They got expansion hockey. Their football team, the quarterback said, here's a list of teams to trade me to. like what's happening in Seattle, right?
160.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Pablo's parents may be doctors, but are they honorary doctors like me? I think not. What's first?
Katie Ledecky's gold medal in the 1500 meter free was blank.
It was redeeming. Okay, these don't appear to be the Katie Ledecky Olympics at this point. She was tracked down and beaten in the 400 by the Australian swimmer Arian Tsitmas, who had for years made that her goal, to beat Katie Ledecky. She went out, she swam in the 200, she finished fifth, she didn't even get a medal, then she got back into the pool and swam the longest race available to women, the 1500, and she won. And when she won, she was crying afterwards. That was significant to me because to me it said, I think I sort of know that this is it for me, and I'm going out on this particular thing. Now, she's got two races left. She's in the 800, but so is Tsitmas. She's in the 4x200, but so is Tsitmas. Katie Ledecky has won more individual gold medals than any United States female swimmer of all time. I mean, she's been the best. So, Pablo, if you go out on this, you know, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, I think the word here is cliche inverting, Tony. I'm going to hyphenate that. I'm going to throw it up there because we talk a lot about how good is the enemy of great. Great's also the enemy of good. Like, what Katie Ledecky has been doing in these Olympics is really good. It's objectively a gold, a silver. That's really good, except We expected great, transcendent great. Like, we expected the things that she was doing 4 years ago, where she was blowing, 5 years ago, she was blowing people off the screen, Tony. If you were in the photo with Katie Ledecky, that was a victory. Now, Titmuss from Australia clearly has been the dominant swimmer of these Olympics, and so good just isn't that good anymore.
Next.
It's blank that the USA men's basketball team beat Iran by 54.
It's not news. News is if Iran wins. News is if Iran gets within 10. Honestly, news is if Iran gets within 40. Iran has no squad. They don't have any NBA players. Our college players could beat Iran. So let's not go nuts here. Now, what is good is Damian Lillard had a good game. I think he had 7 threes. And he may eventually turn out to be the leader of the team because Kevin Durant is not a vocal leader. You know, next up is the Czech Republic. I think that they have one current NBA player, Tomáš Satoranský. That should be a 30-point game. And then you're in the medal round. And in the medal round, you got the three guys who are playing for the NBA Finals, Middleton and Booker and Holiday, and they won't have jet lag anymore. And I expect us to win a gold medal. I do.
Yeah, the word for me on this one is overcompensatory, Tony. It feels like the United States knew what everyone was saying and overcompensated. They took out their midlife crisis Ferrari, brought it out alongside the go-kart track, and showed everybody how fast they could go. Because I understand a blowout like this should not be taken for granted in general, because this team has been losing games over and over again. I get that. But the fact that they had to feel good about something, and Iran just happened to be that something today, that to me feels like what really happened here. It's not that impressive objectively to anybody.
This is so unfair. I went to state school. He went to Harvard. I don't even understand his words. And they're always hyphenated.
I said Geraldo, though.
Let's take one last break. Still to come, Simone Biles takes herself out of the women's all-around.
And why Cody Bellinger's crucial throw, Tony. Why was it so far off the mark last night?
You couldn't even see it in the replay. It was so far above everybody's head. You couldn't even see it.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 27th birthday, Walker Buehler, the Dodgers right-hander who pitches tonight in San Francisco. Maybe the least celebrated, really good pitcher in baseball. What does anyone say about Buehler other than to call his name Buehler? Buehler? Like in the movie. On the Dodgers, all the pitching talk is either about how great Clayton Kershaw has been, or how many saves Kenley Jansen has blown, or how Julio Arias is tied for the most wins in the National League with 12. Meanwhile, Buehler is 10-1 this season with a 2.31 ERA and 131 strikeouts. In the postseason last year, Buehler was 2-0 with an ERA of 1.80. He pitched Game 3 of the World Series. He struck out 10 in 6 innings, allowing one earned run. In the last 3 seasons, Buehler is 25-5 with a 2.93 ERA and 388 strikeouts in 347 innings. Maybe Buehler ought to get a little more run.
Yeah, I must admit I am pretty ignorant as to Walker Buehler's statistical matters. I learned a lot from you just then. But I want to tell you something, Tony. You mentioned Matthew Broderick, Ferris Buehler himself, the face of American youth. His birthday we'll be celebrating next year is number 60, if you weren't feeling existential enough today already.
Wow, he's catching me. A not-so-happy anniversary, Detroit Lions. Around this day 22 years ago, the franchise was stunned when Barry Sanders, the greatest running back in Lions history, announced his retirement at the age of 30. Sanders announced it in a carefully crafted letter to his hometown newspaper in Kansas, the Wichita Eagle. Sanders later wrote in his autobiography, quote, "I didn't see what good there was in hanging around when the organization wasn't trying to put together a winning team. I didn't think we were as serious about winning as our competitors," unquote. The Lions were similarly jolted 5 years ago when their great wide receiver Calvin Johnson abruptly retired at the same age, 30. Among the teams that were playing when the Super Bowl era began nearly 55 years ago, only the Lions and the Cleveland Browns have not made it to the Super Bowl. The Lions' playoff record is a hideous 1-12.
1-12 is mind-blowing to me. I was going to give credit to Barry Sanders, Tony, for just being ahead of his time, because obviously Andrew Luck more recently stepped away from football earlier than we thought he would. But I do think there's a Lions thing going on here, because Calvin Johnson retired, pretty immediately went and became a marijuana magnate, which feels like the only appropriate medical treatment for playing for the Detroit Lions for as long as he did.
I like that. That's funny. Happy trails to the all-around for Simone Biles. The defending gold medalist has withdrawn from tomorrow's individual all-around competition to focus on her mental well-being. USA Gymnastics issued a statement supporting and applauding Biles. Now, Biles can still participate in four other individual competitions she's qualified for if she decides to. On a personal note, I had Barry Zwerluga of the Washington Post on my podcast today from Tokyo. He said a gymnast can't go up in the air if they're not confident how and where they're going to land. It's not like taking a jump shot or hitting a six iron. You're flying around upside down. There's real danger. You can break your neck. It's like having the yips. You're leery of the moment.
No, Tony, I talked to Alyssa Ronick on ESPN Daily today, had a similar conversation. What blew my mind about that was we keep asking, how is it that Simone Biles had to withdraw, retreat? We should be asking what made one of the most hyper-competitive athletes who's played through everything, who's the lone survivor of a sex abuse scandal, what made her step away? Because the bar, her threshold for that kind of a thing is clearly very high. It seems like the conversation has been pretty backward ever since it happened.
Let's go to the big finish. Shohei Ohtani hit his 36th homer, 463 feet last night. You're impressed, right?
This is not a joke, Tony. I went on StubHub and bought tickets to the Yankees-Angels game on August 16th because I saw that clip. The NBA season will tip off October 19th, meanwhile. Is that too soon?
It feels too soon. It feels like the season is being crammed in. It feels like they played too many games. So many guys got hurt this year, big-time players. Mike D'Antoni is stepping away from his role as an assistant to Steve Nash on the Nets. What do you read into that?
I read into the fact that he has coached Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, James Harden twice, Carmelo Anthony, Kobe Bryant back in the day, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons. He could use a break. He's been doing a lot of ego management. Cody Bellinger's throwing error, meanwhile, led to a Giants win. Break it down.
It was so far high up that nobody could catch it. It had launch angle. It had exit velocity. Cody Bellinger's batting, what, 163? Last one. The Rangers snapped their 12-game losing streak by beating the Diamondbacks. Are you happy for them?
Sure, I guess. I'm more intrigued by Madison Bumgarner pitching for the Diamondbacks tonight because he dated a girl once named Madison Bumgarner. Another fact that's accurate.
That's weird. We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Pablo Torre. Please check out ESPN Daily, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And now here is SportsCenter.